Good morning, every one of you. Glad to see you again in spite of the rainy weather. Anyway, let me go straight into the subject this morning because I have a lot to say to finish my series on the Christian fellowship of priesthood in Hebrews 10:19-25. We have discussed on the character of the Christian priesthood, which reads, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And we know that we have this access into his presence, into the very holy of holies, because the Lord Jesus Christ himself has gone in there. We have a high priest over the house of God. And therefore, we need to be careful too when we go into his presence that we are fit to go in. We are fit to be priests unto the Lord because of what he has done for us. But we need to fulfill some conditions when we come into his presence. And they are, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." I already explained what these conditions are, so I will skip them today and go on to the commitment of priests. All of us, brothers and sisters, brethren, are priests before God. There is no division of clergy and laity. There is no division of certain groups from others. All of us are priests unto the Lord. Let us therefore hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. And there is a necessity for us to be reminded of this during this time of COVID, because we tend to stay away to take advantage of the Zoom facilities. But it is needful for us to come together and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We are still discussing this thought. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The profession would refer to, of course, our priesthood, that we are priests. Hold fast to it. Don't let it go. Do not let other people take advantage of this priesthood of ours. Don't let other people deprive us of this priesthood. We are priests. Let us hold fast to this profession of our faith. Let us not waver about it. And if we find any problem, let us remember, he is faithful that promises us to become this priest unto the Lord. I also take this opportunity to use the word profession to refer to our profession in the world. What we are. We are teachers, we are doctors, we are lawyers, we belong to any profession that we choose to. Let us hold fast the profession to be Christians in this profession. Not forsake the idea that we are in this profession and we are no more Christians. We are Christians in this profession, and if we meet with difficulties because of our Christian testimony in the profession we are in, remember this: God is faithful that promise. And for this reason, I have been the last 2-3 sessions giving you my testimony in order that I may prove to you that indeed it is practical, and God has promised us and he will keep his promise. And it is based upon the idea of ourselves being holy priests unto the Lord, as we read in 1 Peter 2:5. We are holy priests. And because we are holy priests, not only holy priests, 2:9 says we are royal priests. Today we will limit ourselves to holy priests. And as holy priests, we are to offer sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices unto God. And we base our offering on Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That you present is the offer of spiritual sacrifices to God as priests, because it is reasonable that we do so, that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To do this, we need to fulfill certain conditions again. They be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And my emphasis these sessions is to prove what is the acceptable, perfect will of God. Can we know the will of God in our lives? We talk very much and very often about the will of God. Oh, we must do the will of God. We must know, do the will of God. How do we know the will of God? How do we do it? How we prove it? Today, I will carry on with what I had shown you in the past of how I sought the will of God and how the will of God worked itself out in my life. That you may prove that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. Can we know the will of God now? No, not necessary. Because when the will of God is worked out in your life, in my life, we may not know. We may find it difficult to know. It is only when we look back and see what happened to us then and there, then we know, that is the will of God. Then we can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And although when we went through the process of doing the will of God, it might be troublesome for us, it might be heartache for us, it might be trouble for us, remember this. As we go through all this, according to the will of God, then when we look back, we may know, these things happened to us, and they are acceptable, good, and perfect. So that is what is meant by proving the good will of God. And for, I continue in my testimony to prove to you that it is possible to do the will of God, and the will of God is perfect, good, and acceptable. I told you about the Lord's choice of me in saving me, leading me to my conversion and my confession. I told you about my consecration unto the Lord, how I consecrated my life to the Lord, and how the Lord took hold of me and used me and my various contributions. And then stage four, which will be discussed today, is my commendation into the Lord's Word. I'm telling you my story to challenge us to let no man despise your youth, but to be an example of the believers. As the first session, I interpreted the word youth as to be from 21 and under, a teen. I showed you how as a teenager, I was able to do the will of God, and God has blessed to the establishment of various of His projects through me. Island Grace Gospel Center, before that, Taylor Road Sunday School, was the result of God using me in my teenage years. And I'm saying this because those of you who are in your teens, are you doing anything for the Lord? Or are you waiting until you are in the 20s, 30s, 40s? Or until you are old before you want to do something for the Lord? As a teenager, you can do something, pioneering work for the Lord already. I was out serving the Lord in the various fields, and the result of those adventures was the establishment of the Taylor Road Sunday School, leading to the Island Grace Gospel Center. More about that later on. And so, second group, I would be after that, the second session last week, I was giving a challenge to those from 21 up to retirement age. Those who are working, those who have a profession. Hold fast to your profession. What are you doing in your profession? Are you a doctor before you are a Christian? Are you a teacher before you are a Christian? Are you a nurse before you are a Christian? No, you are a Christian before you are a nurse. You are a Christian before you are a doctor. Know the difference. It's very important. And I shall show you why it is so important that it has been true throughout my life. Then finally, after that, that was what I did for you last week. This week, it will be a challenge as I interpret the youth to be the seniors. You can grow old and yet be young at heart. And so the youth will refer to the seniors. And this is my challenge for this morning. To all those who are 55 years old and older. Can we do anything? We are seniors already. We are growing old. It's time to retire. Is this the time for you to retire? Let no man despise your youth. Old but young, be thou an example of believers. Let me just quickly go through to challenge you on this. Was it a coincidence or chance? I refer to all that I said the last two weeks. When I was posted to a special Malay class, I told you, where I was to teach on a Sunday, and then I escaped. I asked, no, I don't want to teach on a Sunday. Then I was transferred to Wellesley Primary School and Hutchins School. And because I was transferred to the primary school, I had the chance to start the Chisholm Road Children's Campaign leading to Island Days Gospel Center. I have thought about that, so I don't say anymore. Now, I want to tell you one lesson the Lord wants all of us to learn. He posted me to a special Malay school to teach English in a Malay school on Friday. And I objected to it. Lord, oh, I'm very holy. I do not want to teach on a Sunday. I do not want to work on a Sunday. A Sunday is like a Sabbath day. It must not be done for any other day. So I applied. I got a transfer to Hutchins School, Wellesley School. The Lord allowed me to do that. That is what we call permissive will. He allowed me to do that. He permitted me to do that. But it was not His will. So He still wanted to implement His will. So after I qualified my training 2 years, He sent me back to a Malay school. And this time, not to one Malay school, but to two Malay schools to teach on a Sunday. Why? He had an ultimate purpose, that I might establish the Butterworth Sunday School. And as a result of that, Butterworth Gospel Hall. You see, if I do not want to learn the first lesson, I cannot go on to the second lesson. I must go back to the first lesson to carry on to the second lesson. First lesson must be learned. Take the first step, and He will lead on to the second step. If you refuse to take the first step, then He will not show you the third step. So it's important that we understand the Lord's will, how it works in our life. Then I was transferred to, after 2 years in Butterworth, I established a work there. I asked for a transfer back to Penang. And I was transferred back by the bus English school. I would be there for 7-8 years. Now, Barnabas English School, not to teach Malay, but to teach English in the English school. Right. So I was in Barnabas English School, and then from there I had the opportunity to serve in the education field. The organizer of schools found that I was good in audiovisual aids because I was using that in Sunday school teaching. So I applied that to my professional work, and He asked me to conduct in-service courses for teachers in Penang. So from there, He found that I was good enough. I should go for special training in the Special Teachers Training Institute. And so I was sent there. And before I accepted the application to go to Special Teachers Training Institute, I did my research. After you graduate from KL, Cheras, from the SCTI, would you be transferred out? No. All those people who went in as specialists would be transferred back to their hometown. All those people who would go there, there's a second school, the basic training, they would be transferred out. 5 to 7 years on the East Coast. I was very happy. And you know what happened, I told you already. That year, K. Johari changed the policy. And all those who were graduates of the STTI were transferred out, and I was transferred to Bantakap and then to Temerloh, Mantakap. Now, it was not the Education Department to transfer me to Mantakap. It was their intention to transfer me to Rauk of Kuala Lipis. So when I went to Kuantan to find out about my posting, the CEOs told me, no, that was a mistake made. An accident. We do not want you to go to Mantakap. You go to Kuala Lipis. Sir, please continue on with your mistake. I would like to remain in Mantakap, because Mantakap is 6 miles away from Temerloh, where there is a church there. And so I remained, and he continued with his mistake, and I stayed. But it was not, he could not do anything. God was in control. And God made sure that I was in Mantakap and Temerloh, and then Temerloh Gospel Chapel was established in that year, as I helped them to come to join the assembly movement. You see how the Lord worked? I was heartbroken, separated from my wife and children. I was heartbroken to travel all the mile, all the distance from Penang to Kuala Lumpur, and to take the 40 miles from Kuala Lumpur to Mentong and to Mantakap. Oh, it was tear-breaking, heartbreaking. But then, I did not know it was God's will. When I was there, and I saw the challenge to take up, to establish an assembly in Temerloh, then only I realized that God was putting me there for a special purpose. Okay, we hurry a bit. After 1 year, I established a church there. It was very good now. Well, the people there would know what it was to be an assembly. So I asked for a transfer back. Was it a coincidence? Was it a chance when my old form teacher from Penang Free School was transferred to Kuantan to be the CEO? I went to see him. Sir, can I get a transfer back? Of course you can. May the first go. And May the first, I came back to Penang. May the 9th, May the 13th, you know what happened. The right riots take place. And so you see how the Lord works. But when you were in those circumstances, Lord, how can you do this to me? Look, I'm separated from my children, I'm separated from my wife. How can you do this to me? But after the years, I look back, I see the Lord wanted me to be there. And therefore, there was the Temerloh Gospel Chapel, and then I was transferred back on May the 1st. Why not May the 20th or some other month? And then I would be stuck in Temerloh, separated from my wife and children, no internet, no social media or telegram, too costly, by post, too long, we could hardly contact one another, and we would be so worried. But the Lord, even as He appointed, He would provide for your safety and for your comfort. Then I was transferred to Penang Free School. Why Penang Free School? I was a primary school teacher, trained as a primary school teacher. I was never trained in a secondary school. I came back to Penang, Penang Free School, transferred to the best class, Form 3A. Very big class, very arrogant, very proud, because it's so clever, A class. And there I was, without any training in secondary education, and yet to teach English and mathematics over there. The Lord promised never fail. He was with me, and I kept, and that class today is, that class, students, I remember very well, and they remember me today. From that class, I told you last week how the teacher in free school wanted me to go with her to be appointed as principal in Sekolah Menengah Hamid Khan. Sekolah Menengah Hamid Khan, that school. And how I refused, and later on, I had to go because she was appointed, otherwise she would not be going there. She would not want there unless I went. I told you the reason. And our sister, Mrs. Wong, Annie, what's her name? Wong Chi Seng, Mrs. Wong Chi Seng. She was the bookseller there in the school, and she knew me well. Anyway, now, why was I transferred to Harmony Khan? Because later on, another lady teacher was transferred there. She was the wife of the principal of the Sri Pinang Teachers Training College. And the husband one day told her, "Hey, I heard that you have an audiovisual specialist teacher in your school. We have a vacancy there. Can you transfer him there? Can you tell him to ask for a transfer there?" I said, "No, I'm not going to be transferred out again of Penang. No, that's against God's will." God said, "Yes." I said, "No." So, in the end, I went to see him, and he promised me, "Mr. Ang, do not be afraid. I will see to it that you will never be transferred out." On that assurance, I agreed to be a tour transfer. And you know the story already. So I became a lecturer in this training college. Was it coincidence or was it a chance that there was this primary trained school teacher with no qualifications, with no diploma, with no university degree, suddenly become a lecturer in a teacher training college training teachers? Coincidence? Chance? I don't know. Never did I apply for any of these business posts, but the Lord seemed to place me there. Because I was willing from the very beginning to hear this call and challenge. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And the Lord was faithful to his promise, and the Lord saw me through, and I retired there. So that was stage 3. And because of that, I told you also how the preschool witness group came to be officially recognized. And then, of course, after that, I was posted to Mata Perguruan Sri Pinang. And I retired from there. All right. So, my challenge to all of you is this. Be a Christian in your profession. Wherever you are, know that you are, you know, as a teacher, as a lecturer in the Christian, in a Matak Perguruan Sri Pinang, the Lord was so merciful to me, because I was already serving the Lord as a teacher of God's word in many places, and I needed time, and the Lord gave me time when I was in Matak Perguruan Sri Pinang. Can you imagine a lecturer teaching only 2 or 3 lectures per week, per day, and not more than 10 lectures per week? I had all time free, and I got a whole room to myself, a department, because I was the head of a department. Whole room to myself to prepare not only my lectures, but messages, studies from God's word. And there it was, I studied God's word, and I had all the time to prepare myself for the ministry. God was good. Coincidence? Coincidence? I don't think so. Right, now we come to the next part, my commendation. Stage 4, when I was commended to the Lord. Let me say this from the very beginning. Before my time, no assembly in Penang ever knew anything about commendation. There was no commended worker from any assembly to serve in the mission field. There were missionaries who came over from England, from Ireland, from Scotland, from Australia, from New Zealand. They were all commended by the home assemblies to the assemblies in Penang and Malaysia. But Penang did not commend any assembly, any missionary. There were missionaries who went out. Island Grace was one of the pioneers. Island Grace was good. They sent out our sister Libby. They sent out our sister Laifa. Laiha. Alright. And so these 2 sisters went out. Yes?
Rachel also.
Rachel. Right.
Not Annie.
No, that you will. So they went out. As I said, at that time there was no commendation. They were brave. They went out without the church's commendation. And I studied the word, and I read in Acts 13:2-4. As they ministered to the Lord, that is Paul and Barnabas, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. All right. Let me explain. When I retired, I again waited upon the Lord. Show me thy will. What do you want me to do? And just as he showed me that he wanted me to be a teacher when I sought to go into a profession, so during the time while I was waiting after my retirement, I read the scriptures, studied the scriptures, and again the word teach and teacher appeared again and again. And disciples being sent out, and especially the Gospel of Luke, which I read very thoroughly, and when the Lord Jesus Christ sent out the 70 disciples, and he said to the 70 disciples, "Go out, serve the Lord, and preach the word." And so that spoke to me. And I said, "Lord, if you want me to go out and teach the word, then speak to me very clearly." And then came out this important text on commendation. In the early days, when Saul and Barnabas were serving the Antioch assembly, the elders heard a message from the Lord himself. "Separate unto me both Saul and Barnabas for the work for which I am going to call them." Note please, one, these people were actively serving the Lord. Two, the Lord was speaking to their oversight. Third, the Lord was saying to them, "Release them to me. Separate them to me." Unfortunately, the authorized versions translated the word "sent." The assembly sent, not sent. It is "separate unto me." Relieve them. Release them so that I can use them. So the work of the assembly in a commendation process is to release whom God has called. And the one whom God has called has to state specifically to the leaders of the assembly how the Lord has called him, giving them proof how the Lord has called them step by step, so that they too will wait upon the Lord and will see how the Lord leads them and see whether the Lord will confirm the calling. When all that has been done, then only the leaders of the assembly, your oversight especially, will then release these people whom God has called to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will then send them. It is the Holy Spirit that sent the people out, not the church. The church to release the people, and the Holy Spirit to send them out. And therefore, this is how I felt, and this is what I brought up to the oversight at Balmoral Gospel Home, that the Lord has called me, and the Lord has called me for this purpose. And it was on this basis that I was commended. Now, I was the first commended worker. Before that, of course, I said there were the 3 or 4 sisters from Island Grace who had gone out. Praise the Lord for them. But the proper step should be to be commended. So I set the ball rolling, and I was commended on the 20th October 1996 by Birmingham Gospel Hall. But before that, I needed some confirmation from the Lord. "Lord, did you really call me? Give evidence." And so again, I asked this question, and you answer me. Was it coincidence or was it a chance? When I received an anonymous gift of a white envelope containing a gift before my commendation, for no reason, I was still serving the Lord as I am today, preaching the word from one extent to another. For no reason, suddenly I received a gift like this, in a white envelope, containing a gift for specified KC Ang. Same envelope, same thing like this. For me, why suddenly like that? Just a few months before I was confirmed that I wanted to be a community worker. Do you know that this gift was given to me that week until today, this very day, every single month, without failing even one month, since 1996. Tomorrow, next week Sunday, when I go back to Memorial Hall, I will come, I will receive it again. I know. I do not know who the person is up to today. I do not know. But every month, including the COVID months, it will go into the bag, especially for me. And I told myself, unless this gift stops, I will still carry on serving the Lord. Coincidence? Chance? 1996, 4, 22, 26 years. Every month without fail, this envelope would drop into the bag at Bumble Gospel Hall. Do you believe it? Second, I still was not sure about my commendation. By the way, I brought this up because I will start with Luke chapter 10, verse 4, 22, and 35, and so on. When the Lord sent out the disciples, he said to the disciples, take no crib and no purse with you. Go. The Lord will provide. And this is the stand of many of our missionaries today. All those missionaries sent out and commended by the assemblies, they all go out trusting the Lord for their supply and provision. No salary, no bargaining for terms. All those sent out by the Lord, they go out just as the Lord called them. And I am proof today that I do not work on that basis, but on this basis, the Lord will provide. The Lord is faithful as He promises. Second, I was still not sure when the day of commendation came on 20th October 1996. It was a Sunday. Lord, give me another confirmation. If you intend to send me out to teach, out of Penang to teach, give me an invitation from an assembly outside Penang so that I can know that it is your hand asking me to go out. Waited that week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, no letter. Lord, I'm not sure now. Are you really wanting me to commend? Are you really wanting to commend me? Then on Friday, as I left my house, I was on my motorbike, and my wife was about to go on at the back of my, to be peeling at the back of my motorbike. The postman came. I said, wait, let's see what the postman brings. The postman brought in one letter, put into the postbox. I took out the letter from the postbox, and there was an invitation from Bangsa Gospel Chapel inviting me to take a series of meetings at Bangsa Gospel Chapel by Mr. Tiran. Can you believe it? Coincidence? Call it a coincidence, call it a chance. I believe it to be the overruling power of God in my life, confirming me as to what He wanted me to do. Lord, thank you very much. Then, during that period, there was a misunderstanding between between Butterworth Gospel Hall and Bukit Mertajam Gospel Center. There was a misunderstanding between the two of them, and they thought that I was a culprit who brought in the problem. And therefore, the Islanders Gospel Center, Butterworth Gospel Hall, would not invite me anymore. And But BMGC would not invite me anymore. And that was only for about 2-3 years. They would not touch me. They would not invite me. I received no invitation letter to speak in their meetings. At the same time, I received invitation letters from outside Penang Assembly, inviting me to speak. Now, in my ministry, I never invite myself to speak in a meeting. If I go anywhere, it is on the invitation of somebody else. I don't invite myself. And so, I received this invitation to go. During the time when BMGC and Butterworth Gospel Hall boycotted me, these were something that I cannot understand. Was it coincidence? Was it a chance? But it was to prove the overruling power of the will of God. Therefore, 20th October 1996, I was sent out as a commanded worker by Bermuda Gospel Hall to the assemblies to teach the word in Malaysia and Singapore. And later on, of course, the Lord led me elsewhere. All right. After me, by the way, if you want to read more about this commendation, you can read it from my website. URL is given on the screen. Later on, because of this first step of commendation service that I established for the assemblies, other people began to follow. And I praise the Lord for those that followed. That was Mr. Daniel Jevaraj, 1998. He was first commended by Taiping, to Taiping by Sungai Bung Gospel Hall, age 68. Then later on, Chan Mei Lai went 2005 to 2013 to Indonesia by BRGH, second person to be commended at age 49. Then we have from Island Grace, Annie Koo, twice she was commended to Sung Suong and then to Sun Kim, as late as 2018 by IGGC. It's interesting to note that IGGC, you are a mission-minded assembly. Carry on with that because you are doing very well. Wang Yiling went to Kazakhstan also twice. She was commended 2009 and 2018. Both had to come back after the first one because of health reasons. Right. What I'm trying to point out, but think tank has stopped. Why? What about the people here now? Island Grace Gospel Center is a pioneer in sending out missionaries. Lately, as 2018, that's right, and go to Cambodia. Very good. Can we see more going out from Island Grace? You are an excellent pioneer in mission work. Continue to do so. All right. What did I do in my commission service? When I was commended, what did I do? I have not much time, just go through very quickly. I joined the first mission team ever went to go out of Malaysia. Started by MMS, Malaysian Missionary Service. And we started a first mission fund. Before this time, assemblies were not interested in missions. There was no mission fund, there was no mission trip. Everybody was happy with what each one was doing. And Ernest Poon, together in starting MMS, to start this mission interest, and I followed with him, and we went to Cambodia to in our first mission trip ever. Then I also started the first mission newsletter. I called it the Echo Eagles, and it's named after the Echoes of Service in England. The Echoes of Service is not a missionary organization. It is a missionary service station. It collects information, finance, to channel out to missionaries. But it does not control missionaries. It is not a missionary organization. Our missionaries never go out under a missionary organization. They go out as led by the Lord and then served by those who are interested through services like the Echoes, and at that time, we the Echoes help also, and today MMS. I established also the first mission night with missionaries from Asat Penang. Today, you read of missionaries in your newsletter, in your prayer items. All these missionaries, I have been the one who have introduced them to the assemblies. Before, they knew nothing at all about missionaries from local scenes, only foreign missionaries. But today, we have got missionaries that you all know of and you pray for. We thank the Lord for them. We have got visits to missionaries, to other places, to teach them the word. That's what was my mission. Something's wrong with the internet. Hello? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Can't control anymore. Oh, okay. All right. I started visiting assemblies in Malaysia, including Sabah, teaching course, teaching Bible studies, leadership training, and speaking at Bible camps. Then I led mission teams to mission foreign missions, Cambodia 3 times, Vietnam, Singapore, Indonesia, Taiwan, Korea, Myanmar, India, Australia. I want to emphasize one thing. Just as I was invited to speak in the assemblies in these countries, never even once was I paid for in my travel fares. No one ever paid me for my traveling fares by air or by train or by car or by authorities. What the least they could ever do for me was just to give me a gift that would be given to any other gift locally. I was always, as they use the word, invited by faith. Today we invite missionaries over to Penang to hold conferences, and we pay hundreds, thousands for their airfare, for their travel fare. I have been to all these places, never was I paid even a cent. All these came from where? Gifts by Christians who heard of my going for these missions, and they just anonymously gave the gifts. I cannot name them to you. They just, and everywhere, every time, it was sufficient to meet my needs. You see, the Lord is wonderful. Call it by coincidence, call it by chance. I know what it is to trust in the will of the Lord, to believe in Him, in faith. He's faithful, that promise. Do you believe that? Today we find those people who want to come to mission fields, they bargain with the oversight. Terms, 3-year term, 4-year term, 5-year term, I must have a car, I must have a fridge, I must have a computer, and so on and so on. This is what the Lord says. This is what is called to the Lord's service. So, this is what I mean by being commanded by God to serve in the field that He has chosen you to. I was also responsible to write the history of assembly work. And the first mission house where the work of the Lord was established in Penang was saved because I went to see Salma Khoo and told her she was suspecting that 35 Fakwa Street was connected with history somewhere, but she did not know where. And I contacted her and I told her that that mission house was the first mission house of our assembly work. And up to today, it is preserved. And it is written up by the Penang Monthly recently. Today, I have received a request by somebody who wanted to write a dictionary of Christian biography in Asia and about Tan Wah Kim. I had stopped writing about history already, so I could not help. Now, it's very sad that there are no people taking up the challenge to write the history of Penang assemblies. And like people at Tan Wah Kim, how many of you here know Tan Wah Kim? Without Tan Wah Kim, well, basically, there won't be a Bummer Hall. He was from Bummer Hall. Without Tan Wah Kim, there will be no CCC, Without San Joaquin, there will be no Island Glades. Without San Joaquin, there will be no Butterworth Gospel Hall. Without San Joaquin, there will be no Sing and Nibong Gospel Hall. His last gift to the Assembly of Penang was the Sing and Nibong Gospel Hall that was given the official residential permit on Christmas Day. And after that, he died. That was San Joaquin. But how many of you know of him? Unfortunately, we cannot trace a history of him, his birth, his life, and his commitment to the Lord. Well, I have also, now that I'm getting old, we must be well versed now in internet connections. But thank the Lord, as I progress in Christian life, as I grow old, the Lord has enabled me to be keeping up with internet. And so today, for your information, I have a website. And you can, I'm giving you all my URLs so that I know all of you have phones. If you want, you can just take a snap and get all my URLs. Now, this website was given to me by somebody who treasured the teaching of God's Word. And he said, we do not want to lose the teaching of God's Word. There are many of your Bible students all over the world who want to still listen to you. And so he gave me that. And this website was a webmaster, not in Malaysia, in US. My webmaster comes from USA. And he has given me this website and has paid for it. Because you cannot use Christian website in YouTube and in Facebook and so on. They are merged with a lot of corruption and polluted messages and so on. So to keep our website clean, one has to pay. And our brother has been paying for me all the time, this website, years already. I have got my newsletter. It's called Bridger Bethel in the website. And I come out with this newsletter to update all assemblies about what I do and all Christians. I have also inserted there my ruminations for the week. Now people here may not know what these ruminations are. Many of you are familiar with the morning devotions, daily bread and so on. This is a rumination, a devotion, specially for the Lord's Day. For the Lord's Day. And is given out for assembly members, so that those assembly members who find difficulty in preparing themselves for the Lord's Day, every Lord's Day morning, before the Lord's Day, Friday or Saturday, this rumination can be available, and you can read it to prepare yourself to participate at the Lord's Supper. Today, I took a little time to speak about the rainbow. That's because this morning's rumination is about the rainbow. And you can just take, and my rumination is such that it does not give my experiences or my thoughts. It's only the exposure of Bible texts, so that the Holy Spirit will use the text to challenge you. Not my thoughts, not my experiences, not my stories, but the Bible stories, the Bible text to challenge you. Today, lately, many assemblies on Sunday morning have taken up a devotion message to prepare the people, or even sent out 1 or 2 days earlier to prepare. I prepared this long time ago, 27th of February the 5th, first rumination sent out. I think I'm unique. There's no other devotional studies on for the Lord's Supper, only on the Lord's appearing only on the Lord's Day. I think I'm the only one being available. And it's available every Sunday, but published every Friday or Saturday for you to get ready for the Lord's Day. So, young men, if you are short of preparation for thoughts for the Lord's Day morning, here is your opportunity. Today's study is on the rainbow. Right. And it is Rumination number 924. In the Lord's will, I hope to do it until Rumination 1000. After that, I think I may stop, or the Lord may stop me earlier. I do not know. But that's all that I intend to do. 1000 is enough. It's not easy to prepare 1000 Bible texts every Sunday. This Rumination is also available on Facebook. It is also available on another Brethren at the Brethren Today. It is in the website. You also have a folder known as Loaves and Fishes. In Loaves and Fishes, you have all the messages that I have spoken on in the various places there. There are hundreds of them. For example, if you go in today, you can find last Sunday's study on the commitment of the Christian priesthood in Island Grace there. That is a URL. So this is a complete URL I have while getting old to continue serving the Lord. And my challenge to all of you who are old, are you too old? I'm sure you're younger than myself. By the way, I'm already 85. So if you are not 85, then you have no reason not to give your life up to the Lord. You are younger. Right. Apart from this, I have also daily devotions. I'm a contributor to the choice screenings printed by the Gospel Folio Press. It's a daily calendar, yearly coming out, either as a desk copy or a calendar to be hung on the wall. I contribute to this calendar every year, and I was telling myself, Lord, please give me an example that I can use to show to island-based people about these choice screenings. You see, I contribute about 10 or 12 per year, but they don't come every week. They every day. This is for every day, by the way. For every day. This is an assembly daily devotion. Why are not the assemblies taking part? You are reading daily bread. You are dealing with others. Praise the Lord for that. But why are you not taking reading from an assembly publisher? This is available on the net. Free. And I say, Lord, please give me one that I can use to illustrate for Island Grace today. And last Thursday it came up. Now, it will take a contribution will take about 2 or 3 months before it appears again. And I was surprised it came up. Was it a chance? Was it a coincidence? Now, this is a daily devotion by assembly people, not by outsiders. This one is daily. The Bible Rumination is weekly, only for the Lord's Day, for the Lord's Supper. Is it a coincidence or a chance to receive this on Thursday? Well, you tell me. My God is real, very real in my heart, and that I can tell you. Right, I now finish. Summary of lessons from my testimony. What can we learn by my giving you this testimony? The need for consecration sanctification. There's a need for every one of you to beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship. There must be a decision to present your life a living sacrifice. A declaration not to conform, but to transform, to be transformed, to study the word and obey his prescribed will. Know what his will is, written will, first. Second, to surrender one's will, to do his personal will. To surrender, say, Lord, here am I, use me for your glory. To seek not your own way under permissive will. Now, sometimes God shows you His will, but you refuse to do. And you keep on begging and begging and begging, and He will give you. But when He gives you, He will send leanness to your soul. Psalm 106:15. That is permissive to you. He will give you, but He will send leanness to your soul. To be whatever and serve wherever His will. Whatever He wants you to be, wherever He wants you to be, serve Him. And you'll find a great difference. He will bless you. He is faithful, that promised. To wait for His open door. Don't hurry. Wait for Him to open the door and then go through. Not to wedge between the secular and the spiritual. Do not separate the secular from the spiritual. Do not separate your being a teacher and being a Christian. Oh, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm no longer a Christian. I can do whatever I like as a teacher, but never worry about my challenges for a Christian. No! You are a Christian first, then a teacher second. Not the other way around. That's what you are. That's what you are. To trust His person, promises, protection. And if you do that, do His will, you'll find that He will be true to all that He has promised you. May the Lord help you. So, keeping our profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful, that promised. So I'll see you the next time, next year. I do not know what I'm going to do with you yet, unless Mr. Chen tells me whether to continue the series or to start a new series. So for that, thank you very much for your patience. The Lord bless all of you.